The following is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 1, text number 54, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 8th, 2017, in Santiago, Chile.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Rite Artam Yat Pratyeta Na Pratyeta Cha Atmani Tat Vidyat Atmanah Mayam Yata Abhasa Yata Tamaha Retetam Yat Pratyeta Na Pratyeta Chatmani Tad Vidyad Atmano Mayam Yatha Baso Yatha Tamaha Retetam Yat Pratyeta Na Pratyeta Chatmani Tad Vidyat Atmano Mayam Yatha Baso Yatha Tamaha. So in this word you can take the R and put it to Reter Tam like that, because you can't go, there's no way to say RT. You have to put it on after the E. Reter Tam like that. Reteratam yat pratyeta. Na pratyeta chatmani. Tad vidyat natmano mayam. Yatha baso yatha tamaha. Rite. Without. Artam. Value. Yet that which pratyeta appears to be not pratyeta appears to be certainly Atmani in relation to me tat that vidyat you must know Atmanah my Mayam, illusory energy. Yata, just as. Abhasa, the reflection. Yata, just as. Tamaha, the darkness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, what appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. For nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows. For in that light there are neither shadows nor reflections. Purport. In the previous verse, the absolute truth and its nature have been explained. One must also understand the relative truth to actually know the absolute. The relative truth, which is called Maya or material nature, is explained here. Maya has no independent existence. One who is less intelligent is captivated by the wonderful activities of Maya. But he does not understand that behind these activities is the direction of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, it is said, Maya yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is working and producing moving and non-moving beings only by the supervision of Krishna. The real nature of Maya, the illusory existence of the material manifestation, is clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is substance, and the relative truth depends upon its relationship with the absolute for its existence. Maya means energy, and therefore the relative truth is explained to be the energy of the absolute truth. Since it is difficult to understand the distinction between the absolute and relative truths, an analogy can be given for clarification. The absolute truth can be compared to the sun, which is appreciated in terms of two relative truths, sunlight and darkness. Reflection and darkness. Darkness is the absence of sunshine, and reflection is the projection of sunlight into darkness. Neither darkness nor reflection has an independent existence. Darkness comes when the sunshine is blocked. For example, if one stands facing the sun, his back will be in darkness. Since darkness stands in the absence of the sun, it is therefore relative to the sun. The spiritual world is compared to the real sunshine, and the material world is compared to the dark regions where the sun is not visible. When the material manifestations appear very wonderful, this is due to a perverted reflection of the Supreme Sunshine, the Absolute Truth, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra. Whatever one can see here has its substance in the Absolute. As darkness is situated far away from the sun, so the material world is also far away from the spiritual world. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions, tamaha, but to try to reach the shining regions of the absolute, yogi dham. The spiritual world is brightly illuminated, but the material world is wrapped in darkness. In the material world, sunshine, moonshine, or different kinds of artificial light are required to dispel darkness, especially at night. For by nature, the material world is dark. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has arranged for sunshine and moonshine. But in his abode, as described in Bhagavad Gita 15:6, there is no necessity for lighting by sunshine, moonshine, or electricity, because everything is self-effulgent. That which is relative, temporary, and far away from the absolute truth is called maya or ignorance. This illusion is exhibited in two ways, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The inferior illusion is inert matter, and the superior illusion is the living entity. The living entities are called illusory in this context only because they are implicated in the illusory structures and activities of the material world. Actually, the living entities are not illusory, for they are parts of the superior energy of the Supreme Lord and do not have to be covered by Maya if they do not want to be so. The actions of the living entities in the spiritual kingdom are not illusory. They are the actual eternal activities of liberated souls. So, Nowadays, some rascals are trying to establish that darkness is absolute. But that is not a fact.
Pero eso no es un hecho.
Darkness is not absolute.
La oscuridad no es absoluta.
As confirmed by Srila Prabhupada.
Como confirmado por Srila Prabhupada.
Darkness is relative to light.
La oscuridad es relativa a la luz.
That with the absolute truth is compared to the sun.
Por eso la verdad absoluta es comparada con el sol.
And reflection and darkness are relative to that absolute truth.
Y la reflexión y la oscuridad son relativas a esa verdad absoluta.
Actually, we can do a simple experiment to see which is more powerful, light or darkness. Here's what you do. Go to a completely dark room and strike a match. And you see that light will go all over the whole room. And then the other experiment is you take a can with darkness in it. You go out into the bright day, you see. You take the lid off that can. And that darkness doesn't go anywhere, you see. That darkness is immediately destroyed by the light. So from this simple experiment, even a child can do this, you see. We can prove that light is more powerful than darkness. Therefore, the original substance of existence is light. It's not darkness. And that original source of all light, that is Krishna himself. Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhava matak prabhar, aham sarvasya prabhava matak prabhar prabhartate niti bhava bhajante bang buddha bhava samanvataha." I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So darkness is also an energy of Krishna. That is the material nature. And the light, that is the spiritual nature of Krishna. So Krishna is the origin of everything. Even he says, "I am the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness." So, even if you want to forget God, how are you able to do that? God empowers you to forget Him. Krishna arranges for you how you can forget Him. You want to forget Him? Okay, He'll give you the ability to forget Him. So, Krishna will give you what you want. So you have to be intelligent to know what should I really want. If you want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then He will give you that illusion that you can enjoy separately. That's the illusion we're all suffering from at the present moment. We're thinking we can enjoy separately from Krishna. But if you don't want to have that, if you want to actually be realized in the truth, Krishna will give that to you as well. He'll bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who enlightens you as to who you actually are. What is your actual identity? Lord Chaitanya confirms, what is our actual identity? Jivera Svarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. So this idea that we originally were not engaged in Krishna's service, we were somehow merged in Brahman, that's our constitutional position. That's not what Lord Chaitanya says. He says we're the eternal servants of Krishna. That means we always serve Krishna. But sometimes we may forget our actual position as servants of Krishna. When we come under the influence of the material nature, we may actually think that we are Krishna. Nowadays, the bogus gurus, they will tell you, you were Krishna. When I first studied, but was supposed to be, you know, Indian philosophy. I read a book, it was called The Book. On the taboo against knowing who you are. And this book said, actually, you are God. But now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself. So just come out of hiding and be God once again. So that sounded pretty good. I tried it for a few days, but it didn't work out very well. How can I be God when things don't go the way I want them to go? And then I went to one program at the student center there at the University of Texas. One Swami came from India. And he said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. So in the beginning I was very much misguided by these rascals, you see. They told me that I am Krishna. So I was thinking, yes, I am Krishna. But it doesn't work. Krishna is full, he's all power, all beauty, all renunciation, all knowledge, wealth and fame. Anyone who thinks they're Krishna, they don't know what is Krishna, you see. If you're actually Krishna, then you have unlimited power. You could take this whole earth planet and put it on your little finger. Whole earth planet. You would have unlimited wealth. You wouldn't have to work a job, you see. These so-called Krishnas, they have to go to work on Monday morning, you see. They think they are Krishna, but they have to go to work on Monday morning to pay their rent. That is not Krishna, you see. They think they're Krishna, but Krishna is beautiful. And they're getting old and ugly. They have wrinkles in their face. Their hair is falling out from baldness, you see. And they think they're Krishna. Also, Krishna is unlimitedly famous. There's no one more famous than Krishna. But these so-called Krishnas, nobody even heard of him before, you see. Some unknown rascal is thinking that he's God, you see. And as far as renunciation, they're smoking cigarettes, they're having illicit sex, and they think they're Krishna. So only a fool would accept that he is Krishna. Instead of trying to be Krishna, why not become devotee of Krishna? Some says, no, I want to go for the topmost thing. I want to be Krishna. But actually, Krishna, From his perspective, devotee is even better than to be Krishna's perspective is to be a devotee is better than to be Krishna.
Pero de acuerdo a la perspectiva de Krishna, ser devoto de Krishna es mejor que ser Krishna.
Do you know that? You know that Krishna, from his perspective, being a devotee is being better than Krishna is better than being Krishna. You know that.
Y para la perspectiva de Krishna, ser devoto de Krishna es mejor que ser Krishna.
What is the proof?
¿Cuál es la prueba?
Krishna is seeing Radharani.
Krishna está viendo Radharani.
This is his servant Radharani. She is his devotee Radharani. And he's saying, this Radharani, by serving me, she is tasting more pleasure in giving service to me than I am tasting by being served by her. So Krishna does not like to be outdone by anybody. So when he sees that Radharani is enjoying more than him, that girl, Radha, the Gaurangi, that beautiful golden-limbed girl, Gaurangi, she's enjoying more than me. I will become Gauranga so that I can also taste the pleasure of being a devotee, Krishna. So that's the reason Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. That's called the esoteric reason. Exoteric is he wants to deliver the fallen soul. But actually that's secondary reason. The primary reason is he wants to taste even more pleasure than being Krishna. By being the devotee of Krishna. Therefore he's known as Bhakta Avatar. You see? We have our Bhakta program, Bhakta so and so, Bhakta this, Bhakta Jose, is he? Bhakta this, Bhakta that. Well, there's another Bhakta, his name is Bhakta Avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhakta Avatar. Yes. So he's getting unlimited pleasure, even greater pleasure than being Krishna himself. So why are we so foolish that we want to be Krishna? We want to be the Supreme. When by becoming servant of the Supreme, we can enjoy more than the Supreme. This is called becoming intelligent. But the trouble is, we're such dull-headed fools, we keep trying to be the Supreme Enjoyer. How can I enjoy? But you can't enjoy. That is not your identity. You're not an enjoyer. You are the enjoyed. The one who is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So when you say, okay, I'll stop trying to be the enjoyer. I just want Krishna to enjoy me. Let me please Krishna by every thought that's in my brain. Every word that comes out of my mouth. And everything that I do. So how do we know when we're pleasing Krishna? Well, there's descriptions of the scriptures that will tell us how we can please Krishna. There's also the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. So therefore the disciple always tries to please the spiritual master. Certainly, that's his desire. He wants to please his guru. My experience with Prabhupada was this.
Mi experiencia con Prabhupada fue
that when I was in the mood of wanting to save the fallen souls of this world by giving them Krishna consciousness.
Cuando mi mente estaba siempre del humor de salvar a la gente de ahí por darles conciencia de Krishna.
When I was in anxiety to see them in anxiety, that gave the greatest pleasure to Srila
Prabhupada.
So the more you can feel compassion on the fallen souls of this world, on the fallen souls of Chile, and the fallen souls of
Santiago,
the more you can have compassion for them and dedicate yourself fully to giving Krishna to them, that's when Krishna will shower his mercy upon you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. So therefore, become very determined to carry out the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dari de katahikaha Krishna upadashamara gaya guru hoyutari desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this world. You see, you all meant to become gurus. Teachers of the science of Krishna. So then, any questions?
The body is
what?
Para dukkha dukkhi.
Yes.
But one must to be has to be compassionate to others. But sometimes we don't feel. How can we can? What's this?
No confundirse, gracia.
Claro, no confundirse entre lo que es lástima. Sí, lástima.
So how can we distinguish between being pity or feel pity to other one?
The distinguish between what?
Being pity.
Pity.
Feel pity.
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 For them.
Pity or compassion.
It's the same thing.
The loving.
Yeah. The more you feel sorry for them, that is your compassion. But you shouldn't just feel pity for them, you should do something about it. You should preach. Go on Harinam. Distribute books. Distribute prasadam. Cultivate them. Train them how to become devotees. That feeling of pity is very good. You should feel very sorry to see their plight. Do you know Prabhupada was like that? In Melbourne, Australia, they were taking the morning walk on Monday morning during the rush hour. Prabhupada was seeing all these karmis going to work on Monday morning. He started crying. He felt so sorry for them. So the more you can feel pity in your heart for these poor suffering souls and do something about it by preaching Krishna consciousness, you become very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada explains how Lord Chaitanya is in great anxiety to see their suffering condition. It's a huge burden on him. All of these suffering souls. So when you try to give Chaitanya's message to these people, you are taking some of that weight off of Lord Chaitanya onto yourself. And therefore you become qualified to become a special recipient of Chaitanya's mercy. So the more you can feel pity for these poor souls, Lord Chaitanya will be very pleased. Next. That lady there.
Why sometimes the devotees, especially male devotees, confuse themselves by trying to be brahmacharis when they have prescribed duties like father or husband? And they pretend to be brahmacharis the whole life.
Well, Brahmacharya Ashram is a training ground both for those who are attached and those who are detached. It's not that you have to be a sannyasi to be a brahmachari. Even someone who's going to get married, his tendency is, see, there's two natures, attached and detached. Some men are very detached.
Algunos hombres son muy desapegados.
Some men are attached.
Algunos hombres son apegados.
They will eventually want to get married, you see.
Si ellos quieren tener, o casarse.
So Brahmachari Ashram is to train both types of men.
Entonces, Brahmachari Ashram es entrenamiento para las dos.
Those who are detached, they take Brahmachari training and they become sannyasi, you see. And those who are attached, they take Brahmachari training and become grihastha. Krishna was a Brahmachari, but he became a grihastha. Yes? No, no, no. Once you take grihastha ashram, you cannot go back to being a brahmachari again.
But he can practice brahmacharya.
He can't, but he can live as a brahmachari in the household life.
Can I translate?
Yeah. Grihastha is also meant to be a brahmachari. That means sex only for procreation. If his wife wants illicit sex, he doesn't give her illicit then. Because sex is only for producing children. Once in a month. But he remains in household life as a brahmachari, celibate husband. He remains with his wife and children and gives. His duty is to see that his wife is going back to Godhead and his children are also going back to Godhead. He cannot just whimsically give up his family duties. He cannot do that. There was one brahmachari, he was feeling some desire becoming grahastha, so he gave up brahmachari life and became a grihastha. Then as soon as he got married, he wrote Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, can I take sannyas? Prabhupada did not like his attitude. He said, your unhappiness is not due to the ashram that you're in. Your unhappiness is simply due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. So if a brahmachari gets married, he thinks, oh, this is no good, I have to go back and be a brahmachari again. Now I have to become a sannyasi. I don't like married life. Such a person cannot be happy in any ashram, you see. Because he's not Krishna conscious. But if one is actually Krishna conscious, he can be happy as a brahmachari, happy as a householder, happy as a sannyasi. He can be in any ashram and be happy. So one should simply be Krishna conscious, that's all. Does that answer your question?
That sometimes the husband, so doesn't work, you know, like they don't go out, make money. So it's the lady who has to make money.
Prabhupada said, "Don't be a lazy fellow." Householder life means he has to work very hard and support his wife and family. That's householder. Otherwise, he's simply a rascal.
Simply
hippie. When you can't be a hippie when you get married. You got to be. You got to work really hard. I remember when I was a brahmachari, one householder told me, he said, householder life means you have to work like an ass to maintain your wife. Can't be lazy. Well, I'll send my wife to work.
No.
In Vedic culture, the women do not go to work, they stay at home. The husband works very hard, he maintains the whole family, and the wife stays at home. That is Vedic culture. This idea of sending the women to work, this is some Western culture thing. It's not Vedic culture. He must work very hard to maintain his wife and family. Otherwise, better not get married. Next.
How can I differentiate when I meet a guru? How can I know that it's not fanatism and that is a little of love?
How can I know it's not fanaticism but if it's genuine love?
Yes, to the spiritual master, to a guru.
You have to know what is the meaning of fanaticism. Prabhupada explains that if you have religion without philosophy, that is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism. So, but if you have philosophy and religion, that is the science of God. So you're just carried away by the guru. But you have no ability to see who is a bona fide guru, you see. Then you're a fanatic. But if you know what the symptoms of a guru are from the scriptures, as described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena padipashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. Self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So a spiritual master is someone who has actually seen the truth. He's constantly seeing the truth. He's living the truth. He's speaking the truth. And he is forcing your eyes open with the torch, not a mala, so you can also see the truth. So when you meet a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master, his words are very powerful. They have the shakti to cut away all the illusion from your heart. It's like a very sharp knife. Open heart surgery, you see. His words go into your heart and they cut away the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, envy. Those things have been binding you to this material existence, lifetime after lifetime. His words cut all of those hard knots of material attachment. So when you find such a person who can actually deliver you from the illusion of material existence, Krishna says, surrender unto him, become his disciple. That's where it actually begins. Rupa Goswami said, Adau Garashvayam. The first step on the pathway of spiritual perfection is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So what does that mean? You give your heart to him. Gurudev, now I belong to you. I'm your servant. You take charge of me for all of eternity. I have nothing to do except serve your orders for all of eternity. As soon as one meets the bona fide spiritual master and gives one's heart fully to the bona fide spiritual master, practically speaking, you're already a liberated soul. Of course, it will take some time before you will see Krishna face to face. But by fully dedicating yourself to the spiritual master, your perfection is already achieved. It's like having an unripe mango or a ripened mango. In either case, you have a mango. So when you actually take the spiritual master into your heart, you're already a liberated soul. Simply will take some time to mature. I remember the day when I accepted Prabhupada in my heart. I was living in the ashram, but I was thinking, no, I won't be a disciple, I'll just be a... I was a singer-songwriter at the time. So I would just write songs about Krishna. I would just follow the George Harrison Sampradaya. My sweet Lord, you know. I'll write Krishna conscious songs, but I won't become a disciple. But then I realized these devotees are tasting more nectar than me. And being an envious person by nature,
siendo una persona envidiosa por naturaleza.
I didn't want somebody else to taste more nectar than me. I was greedy for nectar, I'll be honest. I was greedy for more nectar. So when I realized these devotees are tasting more nectar than me, I gave my heart to
Prabhupada.
I was thinking, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face, and that was it. Now I got to get initiated, that's it. So you actually meet a bona fide spiritual master. How long should you wait before you give your heart to him? 5 years? 5 months, 5 days, 5 minutes, 5 seconds. How long did Prabhupada wait? Prabhupada was invited by his friend Rendranath Malik to come and hear Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. At that time, Prabhupada was a Bhai Charan Day. He was the manager of a chemical manufacturing plant, pharmaceutical medicine. He said, "No, I've seen all these sadhus. I'm not interested in these so-called sadhus." But his friend Rendranath Malik said, "No, Abhai Babu, this is not one of those pseudo-sadhus. This is a real sadhu. You must come. You must come." Prabhupada said, practically, he dragged me. Actually, ISKCON has now acquired that place where Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta, Uttadanga in Calcutta. We have purchased that building. So you can go and see where Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, at that time, Prabhupada was a follower of Gandhi. He was wearing white khadi. Khadi means hand-woven dhoti. It's like this is hand-woven dhoti. White, this is khadi. Not by a hand-woven dhoti. So he was wearing a hand-woven dhoti to show that I am a Gandhian. Prabhupada was very fond of being a follower of Gandhi. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was saying how the most urgent thing is to spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was thinking, no, that's not right. The most important thing is to get free from the British control. Bhakti Siddhanta said, you should spread this Krishna conscious message. He ordered him to the English-speaking countries. So Prabhupada argued with him that no, the most important thing is to get free from Britishers. But then Bhakti Siddhanta, he smashed his arguments. And Prabhupada was defeated. And he knew he was defeated. And he was so happy. He said he realized, now I have met my spiritual master. Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. The formal initiation did not come for 11 years later, you see. But Prabhupada took shelter of him in that very first meeting. He took shelter of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. And he always kept him in his heart. That I have met such a great saintly spiritual master. So as soon as you, so you can do what Prabhupada did.
Is it?
You can immediately accept within your heart the spiritual man. And then it will take some time for the initiation ceremony, but you can immediately accept within your heart. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.